Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 24. Just one last prayer point. When you are here, when you are here, reduce my pace. When you are here, are you sure this is my key? That was his key. Find my own. Have you found my own? When you are here, when you are here, you are correct. You are found. You are found. This my guy stretch his hand like this. You don't know what we are doing. Actually, that's what we want to do. Show me verse. Did I tell you the verse? I spoke about the verse. Now let me tell you what happened. Listen, so that you will know what to do. In the afternoon, I just had a small nap, and I was carried in a vision. And in that vision, I saw one of the elders in this east. And the man took me by the hand, and he was showing me the secrets of what made him do what he did. See, these things are not intellectual, they are spirit. The whole scope of the teaching is what we want to pray about now. I don't need to tell you everything, it's just this prayer. He said, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess and contend with him in battle. I thought he has given you. From whence comes a battle again? From whence comes a battle? What men don't understand is that before you engage in warfare and you are sure of winning, there must be a holy decree. It is with that holy decree that we do war. In the kingdom, we don't go into warfare without knowing whether we win or not. When you are here, 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 when you are here. Listen. We will not pray for long, just 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Find a neighbor. If you have a brother here, find your brother or your sister. This one, see. No. What will happen now is, first of all, we'll find wise and foolish people. You will very, in this 1 minute, you will know wise and foolish people. After now, don't ask, am I wise? Am I not wise? Is he saying no? You will find out very, very fast. Find a neighbor, two, face to face. Don't allow your brother to pray more than you. This one, they know they do age. Possess! Hey! Okakua takakaya! Kakakua takakua! Para! Sayakakaya! Kakandakakakua! Possess! Kakakaya ka,
You can be seated if you can.
Bringing glory to our King, I will stand for God in Allah. I will stand for God in Allah. Fight the enemy, I'm fit, but to grab. Leave the banner of Christ, bringing glory to our King. I will stand for God in Allah. I will stand for God in Allah. Fight the enemy, I'm fit, but to grab. Leave the banner of Christ, bringing glory to our King. I will stand for God in Allah. I will stand for God in Allah. Fight the enemy, unfit, but to grab. Leave the banner of Christ, bringing glory to our King. I will stand for God in Allah. I will stand for God in Allah. Fight the enemy, I'm fit, but to grab. Leave the banner of Christ, bringing glory to our King. I will stand for God in Allah. I will stand for God in Allah. Fight the enemy, unfit, but to grab. Leave the banner of Christ, bringing glory to our King. I will stand for God in Allah. I will stand for God in Allah. Fight the enemy, I'm fit, but to cry. Lift the banner of Christ, bringing glory to our King. I will stand. Ayakaka koka kaka kaka kaka. I will stand for God in Allah. Fight the enemy, I'm fit, but to cry. Leave the banner of Christ, bringing glory to our King. I will stand for God in Allah. I will stand for God in Allah. Fight the enemy, I'm fit, Katukra. Lift the banner of Christ, bringing glory to our King. Our stand for God in all earth. Our stand for God in all earth.
In our families, in our campuses.
By the enemy, unfit, battleground.
Only on faith battleground only.
Leave the banner of Christ, bringing glory to our King. I will stand for God in our life.
In Jesus' mighty name. So, join me in 20 minutes time so that we'll be able to get some things. Where is Highball? If you are wearing tie, come and feel my front seat. I think you guys need to clap for my brothers. Clap for. Oh my God. I'm talking about this side. They are really. If people like High Boy can be on time there. Hey. So we have thrown down the gauntlet for the damsels. So it's left for you people to pick up the gauntlet. My God, look at me. Kai, you have not taken their picture. Come and stand outside. It might not happen again. This is a convergence in the spirit. It might not happen. The way I'm looking at it, High Boy is waiting for let's share the grace. Amen. It's people like Rabbi who has always known he will be a pastor. He has been preparing himself for it. He knows how to not tie and all those things. People like us, we are men of the woods, warriors, mountains. Some of the time, that's why I even forgot we are dressing like this, and we started pressing. You know, you are not supposed to press when you dress like this. Unfortunately, you are in a military cantonment. What is more important is the agenda and purpose, not your clothing. Every other thing have to align. Even bulldozer, Jesus. Kai. No, I'm owing you guys. Yes, now. Is it easy? Huh. Do you know how much fasting they are doing and disalignment? When you are in this kind of place, these are one of the things you don't remember. And in case you wore your clothes and it didn't fit you well, forget it, it's about the season. A season will come when every cloth you wear will fit you. It's not prophecy, it's real life matter. When I was in secondary school, do you even know my name? Should I tell you my name? It's only if you're an evil man you will understand this thing. My name those days is Kai. I will not say it. It's too shameful. I can't. So those days they said that clothes can't fit somebody like me. I know you don't believe, but it's true. Because those days I was going back to boarding school and my mother bought a supplementary houseware for me. And she didn't bother whether it's a woman's room or a man's room. Kai! Let me stop the story here. So, the nun gave me a name. Did you go to boarding school? You will not understand this. Who went to boarding school? That's the only way you can understand. All manner of things happened there. Coupled with the fact that I went to boarding school, I now went to UNM. And I stayed in the hostel. Not some of you that lived off campus. Okay, you are enjoying. You enjoyed throughout. Did you stay in Franco? How long? 3 years. Okay, you tried. I know JB stayed in Franco. I remember him those days. I think you met me 1 year before I escaped. Amen. Uh-huh. So you see that sometimes the reason why you need to dress like this is so you remind yourself where you are going, because condition can make you start misbehaving. Just like I used to tell the lady, sometimes find out the biggest eatery in town. If there is no big place in town, I with me, Shoma. Save up 50,000 or 60 can do it. Just have 100,000 in the bag. Just book flight, go and come back. The price will be lesser. Get to Lagos, check in one good hotel. When you finish from Domino Pizza, you go here. Come back tomorrow morning. You will not die. So if one mumu guy now met you and said, let me buy shawarma for you. That's how they get many shawarma. What is those stuff? Huh? Not as if you give yourself to it, but to convince yourself that this thing is nothing. They were saying pizza, I ate it, I got. When I couldn't even finish one, I say, nah, is this thing that young ladies are killing the destinies of young men over? Now God save you, Rabbi. For they buy pizza every day. Let me stop. And Rabbi looks like somebody that can be buying pizza. Hallelujah. So the reason why we did this is so that we'll calm down. And number two is that we really need to go far by the mercies of God. I want you to pray for 30 seconds and ask the Holy Spirit that beyond the words of the preacher, that he will speak to you. Beyond the words of the teacher, that he will speak to you. The entrance of the world bringeth light. The entrance, not the speaking, the entrance. So until the word gains entrance into the heart of man, there is no possibility of walking in light. The entrance. Your prayer is, grant me entrance. Grant me entrance. Grant me entrance. Sometimes doors are open, access ways, but yet we do not enter. The Bible says that if you are born again, you will see. But in certain seasons, after seeing, you will have to enter. For some men, the only thing that they have experienced is to see. But in this season, God will cause you to enter. He will cause you to enter. You enter by light. You enter by light. You enter by light. You enter. Make it a prayer. You are not. Make it a prayer. Make it a. This is the difference between one person and the other. Brothers and sisters, you prosper by the truth you know. You dominate by the light you have access to. When you see a man having dominion and then the rest are struggling, it's a proof that he has access to light, to information, to revelation that is not commonplace. Ask God. Ask God. Ask God. Ask God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So where did we stop? The oppressions of the voice of God. And we have been able to touch number one. Number one, what? Number one. Rabbi, number one. Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Huh? Number six. Huh? So we'll close with the last one, which will not take us 3 minutes, because it's already, we have touched it more than once. It's just that it also comes up under this. The last one is the scriptures, the operations of the voice of God. I need you to know that fundamentally and primarily, every single thing that God needs to say, He has already spoken in the scriptures. That is why the scriptures retains the capacity to still be the plumb line and standard. As I've said before, irrespective of whatever means that God chose to speak, if you search the scriptures, you will still see, maybe not, you, in some cases, you might not see the scripture that exactly describes the matter, but at least you will see a prescription. You know, every text in the scripture is either descriptive, instructive, or prescriptive. What did I say? Is one what? Two what? Three what? My guy didn't hear it. Every text in the scripture is descriptive, two, instructive, and then three, prescriptive. So it is simple. By descriptive, it means that in certain places in the scripture, the subject matter is properly described and put in context. Doc, are you okay? And in those texts in the scripture, the Bible was able to give us the explanation. Sometimes they will use pictorial and historical and even analogy to explain to us. So all the details are given to us, but it's not always like that. It's not always the way that a subject matter is described. Sometimes it's instructive. So in matters like that, God will come and instruct you. In those cases, it's not... Are you with me? Or in instructive matters of the scripture, it is not open to... It is not really open to doctrinal analysis. You can be doing it, but it's not open. What is open to is obedience. After me, obedience. So when God, there are scriptures that is instructive, but some people, in an attempt to make out doctrine from it, as they have heard, and the challenge with that is that what God expects from you fundamentally when you encounter such scriptures is to obey first. So He doesn't necessarily expect understanding. Are you with me? Oh? In descriptive scriptures, the Bible describes to you, explains to you why you should do this or why this should be this. But in instructive scriptures, He just tells you what to do. Love your neighbor. Now, whether the Bible gets to tell you why you need to love your neighbor or not, the instruction is what? Love your neighbor. So that's instructive. That's not where I'm going. The last one is what? Prescriptive. In prescriptive, for example, I will use two examples. They came and Paul was speaking on the matter of marriage, celibacy, all those kind of stuff. So when they were asking him question, he said, I speak as a man that have what? Received mercy to be faithful. Are you getting the point? So in this matter now, Paul is prescribing. Huh? He didn't come and say you must marry. Are you getting the point? He didn't come and say you must not marry. He just prescribed for you. Check your system and know the one that will work for you. Like, I know now that Doc must marry. How did I know? Because he has married. That's why I know. Like, Do you know it's possible you don't know? It's possible somebody doesn't know who is the will of God for him in marriage. But once you marry, the person you married is now automatically the will of God for you. Are you getting the point? There are some pastors that are married. Some people, not even pastors, and I don't want to say that one. They will marry, and when they finish, they will now say that is a witch that they married. If you marry the witch is what? The will of God for you in marriage. So anything you need to do to find out, do it beforehand. Anyway, so they met Jesus and they asked him about marriage too. And they were asking him, this person married, and this person died, and then this person died, and this person died, and then if this person did this, should we put away and all that? Jesus looked at them and said, it was not so from the beginning. Are you getting the point? So in this matter, he is doing prescription, actually. So he said, it's possible you can, if the person falls into adultery or whatever, you can put the person away. It's a good enough reason. But he's saying that, are you getting my point too? He is prescribing to you that if you can, don't put away the person, even in that adultery. Now, you need to know from where Jesus is speaking from. He is speaking from the eternal point of view. His relationship with the body. His body. That is the church. From the beginning, it was not like that. So he was saying two things at the same time. He was saying that from the beginning, God did not ordain for a man to marry and put away. Something happened. In the same way, God did not ordain for the church to live. You know, Jesus came to buy back what was lost. I know, you know, when the Bible said that he came to seek and save that which was lost, he's not necessarily talking about David. He's talking about the church. Yes. I don't want to go there. Are you getting the point? So Jesus can prescribe to you, even though it's your right to do something like this, the scripture can prescribe to you that you can leave it. Even though, have you heard some scriptures that use the word necessary, use the word expedient? The Bible says, he that warreth doth not entangle himself with the affairs of this world. Is prescription. Now, you can be a warrior and you still entangle yourself with the things of this world. What will happen to you is that you will not be effective. You will have a lot of injuries. There are some people here, what you are suffering is as a result of the injury you sustained in warfare. You stepped out and then you did war. And then when you came back, the injury, you have not recovered for 6 months. That's what happened to you last year. Are you with me? It's common. Sometimes people will come and say, I bind the principality in this campus. I take charge. When you finish 2 years, you have not graduated. There is no reason, there is nothing you can explain. You can't even explain why you are not yet out of that campus. I know you don't. Let me leave you. So you went to war, but you did not bother whether you are well shielded. And some of the arrows you are shot, some it will take you a day, some 1 week, some will take you 1 year to recover from the impact. There are some things, some places you will go and do some things. You will suffer from lust for 6 months, for 3 months. I'm telling you. You do some kind prayers in certain places and then Even though you covenanted with your eyes not to look upon a maid, you started looking twice. After looking twice, you look the third time, look the fourth one, and then when you finish looking, your heart will long. Okay, you are gone. Anytime your heart is longing, a man of fire, you are gone. We need to recover you. Should I tell you, at this stage, your heart should not long for anybody. That's actually the truth. You can't even know if you are correct if your heart is longing. I'm not saying you won't be, you will never be correct. No matter what you think, even when you think you are correct, your heart should not long. It's a mystery. Once your heart longs, your eyes will close. I'm telling you, maybe you will find out later. Once your heart longs, your eyes will close and you can't see well. Even when you are seeing the things, many things, you can no more stop because your heart have longed and your eyes have closed. So I think we already know this last one. I want to run. The last one is the oppression of the scriptures. Amen. So the next subtopic is factors that affect the accuracy of the voice of God. Factors that affect the voice of God. Factors that affect the voice of God. Joshua, it be like your brother learned how to do haircut from you, but he don't pass you now. Na him be the main man now. No be so. Guy. And in done the short prayer. It's been long I saw you pray. You know they pray. Maybe you they carry seat. Climb on top seat. Where are you? We need to find you. I know you feel you are good, but okay. Number one factor, Genesis chapter 18 verse 17. Number one factor that affects the voice of God is intimacy. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I what? Why? Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now, this is a man talking about his friend. Normally, God did not plan to involve Abraham in this matter. Are you with me? Normally, God did not plan to involve Abraham in this matter. But it so happened that Abraham has entered the place of intimacy. Huh? As I explained before, this is mostly found practically between husband and wife. There are many things the wife didn't plan to tell the husband, though. But as soon as they start gisting, before you know it, she will download everything that happened. I found out practically. Let me tell you what happened those days we were young. You will go and tell my mother something. I said, don't tell that you. Are you with me? As soon as it's 8, they will be gisting and she will still tell tomorrow she will still tell. So there is no way. She can even agree I will not tell, but she will still tell. The problem is intimacy. The people have been bound together such that one cannot hide something from another. That is the context of intimacy. Intimacy is the place of... Actually, what it means to get into intimacy is where there is full disclosure. Say after me, full disclosure. I didn't hear you. Say after me, full disclosure. I still didn't hear you. Say full disclosure. So in intimacy, the first thing that happens is that both parties cannot make progress except that there is full disclosure. That is why any sin from the platform of intimacy is the hardest to bear. Do you know why? The person have seen too much. Are you getting the point? The person have what? Seen too much. That is partly the reason why somebody like Abraham was, not Abraham, Moses, was brought into the kind of judgment that he came under. Because he has seen too much. When others hear God speak to them in dreams and all kinds of things, the Bible said that Abraham speaks to God what? Face to face. He was the man that saw the glory of God. Huh? The Bible said God passed and opened his back parts. And Moses saw. This was the old covenant. And the old covenant does not have the capacity it needs to reveal that dimension and layer of glory. Are you getting the point? Moses was exposed to the glory to the point that his body has to be contended for because of the measure of glory that his body was exposed to. I'm telling you. Actually, I don't want to go there. There is a measure of glory your body will be exposed to. Many of the tiredness and weakness and some of the things that happen to people, for you it will be suspended. For me, I'm saying because it's in the Bible too, because me I've tested this more. If you do the things I do, you will collapse. You will just, they will rush you to the hospital. Amen. Oh. So it's a proof that the glory of God have touched the human body. Are you getting the point? So in intimacy, there is full disclosure. If you marry now, you will remove all your clothes before they will believe. That's what I'm trying to say. There is full disclosure before trust. Before there is trust. Are you with me? Oh? Because there is a necessity of trust if that relationship will be furthered. And for trust to be initiated, then there must be full disclosure. I must know you are not hiding something from me. Are you getting the point? And you are not hiding something from me. And the reason why we are using this one is that is the most probable one. The higher levels of covenant that people cut between each other is found where there is full disclosure. You tell the person everything, and the person tell you everything. That means you cannot afford to betray that person. Are you getting the point? You cannot afford to betray that person. So this is what was happening between Abraham and God. He has entered into a place in God where he has become God's friend. Huh? Part of the way you know who is really your friend is somebody that can come around now. If he comes around, he or she comes around, you can gist with the person from morning till evening. You won't get tired. You now sleep, wake up tomorrow morning, continue from where you stopped. Yeah? Next tomorrow, you continue from where you stopped. I have a friend like that. If we are on call, the call never ends. It's wherever we stop, we stop. There is nothing like we continue discussing and say we are finished discussing. It has never happened. That's how we should discuss with God. It's an unending communication. It is on that basis that the scripture have the authority to tell you that you can pray always. Because what the scripture is trying to factor in Revelation is that there is a possibility to maintain an unbroken fellowship. Are you getting the point? If communication is consistent and unbroken, then fellowship can be maintained unbroken. And you need to know that fundamentally, the first focus of prayer is not even warfare. It's not to do anything. The first purpose of prayer is fellowship. And if it is true, on that platform, you can pray without ceasing. Because you can maintain an unbroken fellowship with the Father. Are you with me, oh? So the first one is what? Intimacy. In intimacy, there is full disclosure. This is when God wanted to go down to Sodom. And men have come down. The information, they had the information in hand. In fact, as of that time, the court session in heaven have seated on the matter. And they have brought out a verdict. The verdict is that they will bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you with me? But when they appeared, they met a man that have entered into intimacy with God. And even a matter that has been closed was opened because of intimacy. I say I've seen it happen. Let me use our parents for another example. Sometimes your father will come and say, nobody can stop me from doing this. I will do this thing to you. And then when you tell your mother, are you with me? Oh, when you tell your mother, she will make sure the man ate well. And then do some things, do some magic. And then tell the man, these children, they always misbehave. If you use this hand, you will kill them. Are you with me? Just forgive them. The man will do. They don't win. The lion has been caged. The lion. Are you with me, oh? Meanwhile, you, as a man, you came to face the lion, and it's lion to lion. The other lion will deal with you. Huh? But the other one knows that it's not by force. They will do hot water for you. Do some kind food for you. Huh? When they finish, they will now be gisting with you. You will think you are yourself. They are preparing you for. They want to slaughter you, but you are not aware. When they have put your head like this, they will now tell you, these children. Hey! Yes, it has happened many times. You don't know how many decisions has been taken on the bed. Me, I'm telling you. There is one they took. I don't want to go there. Some of the things that happened to Nigeria is as a result of what a woman told a man inside the bedroom. This whole Nigeria is a big nation. Even from the beginning. Do you know? Have you heard of that woman? I say before Nigeria became independent, what was the name of that woman? Yes, he's in bedroom. They gave Nigeria the name. This Nigeria team, this name called Nigeria is given where? Yes, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Nobody, the woman given her name. Are you getting the point? Meanwhile, the man is doing like this. I said the power of intimacy. Somebody can reveal to you what he has vowed never to say. You have not entered where. Some of the I will still show you some things. There is another factor. Some of the things, the reason, the factors that affect the voice of God is that there are times and seasons given to God. We are coming there. And there are scrolls and seals. Huh? Do you know God can tell you about a matter that the season has never come? That was what happened to David. And you know that disclosure in the matters of the spirit is not like our normal human disclosure. When God discloses a matter for you in the spirit, then it means that there is a possibility for entrance. Are you with me? Oh? Now, in the natural, if you tell somebody something, is information. No. In the spirit, if they tell you something, it means that you can partake. That is why preaching and teaching is when a man have retained the possibility, the capacity to open up a window of possibility for men in the spirit. So when you have taught well, a vista will be open so men can gain entrance. Are you getting the point now? Huh? So, if it is true, then when God discloses a matter to you, even when the season have not come, it means that as of that moment, before the season, you can enter. That is how many people that worked with God in the old covenant got to experience. Are you with me? They got to experience salvation. Even when the lamb has not yet been killed, literally. Are you getting the point? Men like Abraham, men like Noah, they will appear and say they found favor before God. Abraham walked by faith and it was counted for him for what? Now, I need you to know that all those things that were counted for those people, there is what Kenneth Hagin calls it, promissory note. Like overdraft. You are working now, you are working, and you went and collected overdraft. So that when they now pay you, are you with me? When they now pay you, you can now pay back what you are owing. But before a man gives you overdraft, he will check your debt profile, your income, your cash flow, and find out that from the way you are working, your kind of work, you have the capacity to pay back. So God was giving people salvation in the old covenant, even when the new covenant have not yet arrived. Because as of that time, the Bible now told us in Revelation, give me some. The Bible now told us in Revelation that this is the lamb that was slain. When? The lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. That means every man, even though the lamb has not yet appeared, but when you look from the eternal scope of matters, the one that operates from that throne, he has assumed that the matter has already been handled. It's only men that operate in time account it as if it has never happened. So from that platform, the man, because he's the God and judge of all, he can administer righteousness and say that you have been forgiven. And men experience salvation even before the lamb came and died, literally. Are you with me? And on those days, it's called promising. And every man that entered into that kind of experience entered because they found favor before God. And favor is a theme of relationship. I don't like that sound. Find another one that will help me. Now, that kind of thing is not possible except you gain intimacy. Have you ever had a relationship with somebody? The person is working in an office or somewhere and they made a plan to deal with you. The person now called you on the phone and said, I was somewhere and they were saying this thing and they plan to do it. Don't do this. But you were not there. But you were privy to that information as a result of the favor you had with a man that was there. So even though you were not there, you had the capacity, the privilege of functioning as a result of the information. Meanwhile, in the old covenant, as a matter of fact, in the spirit, when God opens up a matter to you, you can enter it. So for men like David, even though he is in the old covenant, God opened up the matter of the fullness of the spirit to him. Are you with me? Yes, so when God opened up that matter of the fullness of the spirit, in the book of Psalms chapter 51, he said, take not the Holy Spirit from me. As of then, the oppressions of the spirit is on them. In the old covenant, it comes and goes. It comes for the accomplishment of an assignment. But when David appeared, I don't know where that guy entered. But I know it's as a result of intimacy. Because in the book of Psalms chapter 63, he said that, O Lord, thou art my God. And early will I what? Seek thee My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, such as I've seen it in the temple. Eh? He now came to verse 8 and said, my heart followeth hard after thee. This was the same man that came, and on account of the ark that was left in the woods, he said, I will not give sleep to my eyelids, neither slumber to my eyes, until we have found a resting place for the God of Jacob. He said, we have heard about him in the woods, in the Ephrata. That man, David, saw something. So because of the place that he has entered in intimacy, God actually showed him what he is representing, what the house he wants to build and the ark he wants to bring. Who will tabernacle there? Who will stay there? It was then that he found out that what God was building was a house for his spirit. Because when we appeared in the new covenant, the Bible now told us that ye are the temple of what? The Holy Ghost. You are supposed to carry the Holy Ghost. That was what the eye reduced the volume. But you are correct now. That was what the eyes of David saw. And when he saw it, because he was, the vista was open to him, he was able to enter into the experience. That was why from that plane onwards, the encounters of David is participated. He will come to a point and he will say, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down. This man is talking about the outpouring. This man is talking about matters that even the apostles before Jesus rose up, they were not aware. He took the interpreter grace that was upon Peter to begin to show men the perspective. He said that because they came to the point when they were drunk and stepped out on the street, men that stood there said, what mean like this? Some said, these men are filled with wine. Peter said, no, we are not drunk on as yet suppose. This is that. This is that. This is that. This is that. Which the prophet Joel spoke about, that in the last days, I will pour. And the reason why there was an outpouring is because there was a coronation. What we have been looking for is, when will Jesus see it as a king? Once Jesus sees as a king, then you cannot stop an outpouring. Are you with me? And the ladder that will ferry Jesus to the point where he's seated as a king is called the cross. That is why before there is an outpouring, before from a life, from a territory, then the cross have to walk, because it's from the cross that Jesus will sit. No cross, no crown. It's not possible. Are you with me? You don't know what intimacy can bring you into. This charter, this agreement, content of the covenant that is only revealed to them that is the new creature in Christ Jesus. Meanwhile, David has experienced more of the things concerning the new creature than even you. Why? Say intimacy. And as I told you, for you, when they tell you something is information, but in the spirit, when they say something is an open door for you to enter into. So that man is experiencing and basking in the reality of the indwelling spirit. This is not possible. He saw it and he said, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not. Take not. Take not. Take not. Take not. I said, God can show you what will happen in the next 50 years. That is how the patriarchs walked. Oh. They entered into intimacy long enough. Men like Jacob will use his staff and lean on his staff. He say, come, let me tell you what will happen in the end of your years. Come, let me tell you. He didn't say, let me prophesy you. He said, come, let me tell you. So, are you with me? He entered into a cage of information, an archive of knowledge in the spirit, and he downloaded it. He said, come, let me tell you. All these things are only possible because of intimacy. Where have God brought you into? That's why certain information has been reserved for you. You have not entered into it. It's not as if God don't want to show you, but he doesn't show you to strangers. There are certain things Jesus won't reveal to you. That was what happened to that woman called Mary. There are many people that has appeared in that tomb. They came and left. But the woman said, show me where you led my master. Show me. The question I ask, can that woman carry Jesus? Is hunger. She doesn't want to live there. That's what keeps some of us in prayer. You want to achieve a point. No, it's intimacy. There is a heart longing. Why am I separated from my lover? Why am I separated from my Lord? Why is it that sometimes I don't feel him near? Let the winds blow upon the spices, and let the flavor of my aroma go out. Let he attract my lover. Let him come to the bath chamber. May he never leave. I tell you, there is a fragrance some of us have in the spirit. That's why Jesus can come and stay in our house and never leave. Let the spirit blow. Let him blow upon the spices. And then it will filter into the course of heaven. And then God will smell it. And he will say, I know the fragrance. He said, this is the smell of my son. The smell of my son is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. It was by smell that they perceive the incense and the aroma that comes in. I said, they don't see your face, they see your fragrance. Draw me deeper. Draw me. Draw me. For my sheep heareth my voice. The voice of a stranger we do not hear. How close are you? The clarity of the voice to you is dependent on how close you are. Take your ears, put at his chest, find out his heartbeat. Can you take your ears, your head, just rest it on his heart. Find out his heartbeat. Sometimes he's so burdened that he cannot talk, but his heart is beating and panting with burdens. You can pick it if you are close enough. What are you picking, son of man? Have you been so burdened that you don't have words to express your burden? But a man and your friend or your anybody that had relationship with you can enter that place and look at your countenance, and we know what burdens you, because that person has known you long enough and he can discern. You have not put your head on his heart long enough. If not, you will discern even the unspoken utterance, the unspoken burdens. The unspoken voice can become clear to you. God is tired of speaking to non-intimates. You will have to come closer. You will have to pay the price of intimacy. Voice of a stranger we dare not hear. The truth is that you are not close enough. Sometimes when you appear in the courts of heaven, in the throne room, because when you appear in the throne room, there are ways that God pick our identity. They don't know this, your physical face. There is a form that you take in the spirit. That is how you are identified. That was the utterance that was on the lips of Isaac. He said, the smell of my son. Look at the smell of my son. It's like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. That the Lord has blessed. He is speaking from the womb of the spirit. He was not just trying to speak from his head. That kind of blessing is not something that he wants to do because of an act of his will. He entered into the womb of the Spirit and he heard information. He downloaded and he found out that the way that God blesses men is that he smells them. What is your smell? Have God smelled you? In the days of the Persian kingdom, the day that the Lady Esther was prepared, for a year she was preparing herself for intimacy. From all kinds of odors and spices, she was still far away. And the king cannot withhold himself from coming into intimacy and embrace. Why is the king running away from you? What is your fragrance? He can't show you many things because you can scare him away. He can't trust you because you have not come into the places of intimacy. The cry today is, God, let your wind blow upon my spices. What order are you giving up? Are you getting a point? Men will naturally come to you, and likewise God. When did you change what you are playing? You changed it. Why now? In Jesus' name. Calm down. Let's do our teaching. Reduce the volume. The second one is obedience quotient factors that affect the voice of God. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. There are two scriptures we are going to bring out. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. If you are there, say amen. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Also, we'll get to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 too. But let's check this. If you are there, say amen. Oh, okay. Half of us are not there. If you are there now, say amen. Okay, he said, and when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, that is 99 years, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty. What? I didn't hear you. What? I didn't hear you. What? So that means that even though Abraham already has a walk with God, his walk is not perfect. That is why I told you that there are things that affect the voice of God. I need to understand that the last time God spoke to him, appeared to him, was 25. Is it not 25 or 17 years? 17 years ago, before now, before this one, that's when God appeared last. And what impacted that kind of experience was that even though he was walking with God, his walk was not perfect. Are you with me? His obedience quotient has not appreciated to the level where the clarity of the voice of God will be consistent around his life. Are you getting the point? So your obedience quotient will affect the voice of God. If your obedience quotient is low, then you will not, sometimes God will even stop speaking. And sometimes if he's a little higher, he will speak but you will not understand. Are you getting the point? Why not show us chapter 12, verse 1, so that we will nail this point. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee. Are you with me? Verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I'll bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. That's the problem. You didn't understand what happened here. Go back to verse 2. Okay, go back to verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of one. What? Number 2, from where? And number 3, thy what? But Abraham was now, when God finished speaking to him, when he was now living, in verse 4, what did he do? he took Lot. So even though he obeyed, didn't he obey? But was his obedience complete? So the obedience quotient is low. And when he started behaving like that, he reached a point. Actually, this one finished, and then he came to Hagar's own. Because God told him that, are you with me? Oh, God told him that out of your loins will I raise a seed. And not just you, from Sarah. He went and collected Hagar. We are still suffering from that till now. So on that day, even though Abraham was walking with God, his walk was not perfect. God did not speak again. God did not appear to him for 17 years. Until he now came to chapter 17 and said, walk here before me and be what? That means your walk with God as of that time, as good as it is not perfect. When your walk with God becomes perfect, then you stop struggling with the voice of God. Because, are you with me? Oh? Because the obedience quotient will make God to speak more and clearly, because you have proved to God that you are willing to do anything to obey him to the letter. So the challenge is not that Abraham doesn't have obedience in his life, but his obedience quotient is not complete. Let me use small matters to you. Sometimes some people, there is a time a sister here said that God told him to sow, and then when God told him to sow, he now sowed 5,000. Then when she now sowed 5, are you with me? Because God told her to sow, and God actually impressed in her heart what to do exactly. She now sowed 5,000. Now, I was the one that received it. When I saw it from coming from a sister like that, my eye opened. I was so happy. I blessed her. I decreed upon her life. We are human beings. We pray, but God is the one that answers. God knew what he told you to do. So just because, do you know, God can tell somebody to give 1 million like this, to even give 5 million, just because maybe we are not used to that kind of money. The guy will come and give 1 million, and all of us will be clapping. I will tell all of you, stand up, let's pray for this man. When we finish praying, nothing will happen. Because as far as God is concerned, what he was demanding from the man is 5 million. So even though there is not much people around us that can measure up to 1 million, his obedience is not complete. And as long as you stay there, the voice of God will be far. Sometimes the content of the voice is a holy decree that will bring you into a new phase of your life and existence. Huh? And it will take that kind of sacrifice to ensure that the things that God has spoken over your life will come to pass. But because your obedience quotient is low, you gave with me, but you gave what you thought. Huh? So the lady gave 5,000. After a day or two, she returned and said that actually God told her to give everything. How much is everything? 20,000. I will never forget that giving. That giving made me take that young lady serious. That thing made me take her serious. Because as of that time, we were not used to that kind of giving. It's been a while now. Are you getting the point? But for me, I was satisfied with that 5,000. But the 20,000 is what God is demanding, because that will be the fullness of obedience. But we can clap for you. We can clap for you that you gave 5,000. Meanwhile, what the Spirit is impressing in your heart is to give 5 times of that. Actually, what God told her is to clear everything. But she gave some. In the seasons that came, not long after them, something came up in her life that we demand almost five to six times of that amount, and there is no way he could come. Had it been she kept the money, he wouldn't have been able to serve. Suddenly money came from nowhere, and the issue was solved. Now sometimes it's not about the money that came on in response to the giving, it's about your heart. Some people here, they see they can pray, do many things, but they still have bad heart. God cannot succeed to get you to do some things. God can labor for 6 months just to get you to do one thing. You are still far. Your obedience quotient is still low. And if it is like that, his voice will be scarce. He will be speaking in between. You can even go on 21 days fasting, he will not say anything. Huh? Do you know what he will do? He will be giving you grace for more prayer and be exposing you to the places where you will die to the flesh. What you have not realized is that the challenge is not that you have not obeyed God, but you have obeyed in measured instances. You have decided where you should stop in your obedience. You don't want to go all the way. Because sometimes when you consider the implication of going all the way in obedience, it is not something that the flesh can bear. But you need to know that when a man obeys God well, one of the things that will happen is that you will die to the flesh. That was what happened to Abraham. When his obedience became perfected. When was his obedience perfected? Huh? Where? The obedience was perfected when he carried Isaac and dropped on that place. Kai. The Bible said when he did it, it was the New Testament that was explaining to us what was happening. He said that he knew that God can raise Isaac from the dead. By then he has started dealing with God by revelation. It's after me revelation. Men that don't have revelation, they will never obey God to the end. They will be asking questions that don't matter. But when you have revelation, you will know that even if a tree is dead, at the center of water. It's after me at the center of water. It doesn't matter if a tree is dead. Let water come. We will burn. And very soon, it will take time. Our branches will be for the shade and covering of nations. There were days the tree was cut down, but the root was still there. And men will look, they will not see the impact. They will know that you are taking root downwards. A day will come, it will sprang up and the stems will arise. The tree will be full of leaves and fruits. Not just fruits, leaves. Leaves, yeah. Because men will gather under it and they will come for covering. That is only possible because you have been a man of obedience. Actually, for you to enter this place of perfection in obedience, you have to die many times. The flesh has to hang. There are many things God will demand from you that is against all reason. But that is the pathway to entering into deeper places in God. God knew. Even in the matters of spiritual warfare, the Bible spoke and said that having in readiness, help me, Rabbi, help me. Having in readiness to avenge all disobedience, when your obedience is what? Complete. So that means that are you with me? There is a layer of disobedience you can only avenge, even in your family. Part of the reason is because your obedience has not reached the point in the spirit where you have retained the stature to avenge that. If you make an attempt to do such a thing, you will experience a fracture. You will come back, they will carry you in a hillock because you had accident. The problem with you is that you attempted something in the spirit where your obedience quotient has not reached to attempt, and when you attempted it, you became a casualty. When men become casualties, it's a proof that they attempted things in the spirit, that they have not retained the obedience quotient to attempt. What are you doing that you have not retained the obedience quotient? Instead of being a savior, you will need to be saved. When a man has not reached the obedience quotient, instead of being the savior, you will need to be saved. Because you will come to a point where Satan will question. You will ask, lift up your heads, O ye gates. And the question that will be asked is, who is the one asking for this kind of this place? This gate can only open to names. Names attained by stature. Stature attained by cumulative obedience. The cumulative impact of obedience can give men rank and stature in the spirit. And then they will retain a name. And that name is what we open doors. And you try to open a door that can only open as a result of a name. A name that can only be gotten as a result of a quotient of obedience. And you have lived a careless life. God will give you instruction and you never obeyed, and you expect more. I say what has been impacting the voice of God around your life is your obedience quotient. And if God speaks and doesn't see it, just like Abraham, 17 years. Touch your neighbor, say 17 years. Touch your neighbor again, say 17 years. He didn't hear. Touch your neighbor, say 17 years.
anemora sasatai. Retefefenete kamra ta 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 ta.
There are people that will come to God and say, you must speak today. The way they are doing God, you must speak today. You used to pray like that. As if God doesn't speak, you will kill him. That's the way he used to pray. What he doesn't know is that his obedience is low. We are trying to patch you up. Let's see whether God will speak this year or next year. If not, if you continue moving like this, it's 17 years. 17 years. The word 17 years is metaphor. Amen. Let's see the third one. I'm now running. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. Times and seasons, the things that impact. Acts chapter 1 verse 6. When they therefore we are come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of what? The next verse. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his power. Huh? For me to explain this, no, go back. For me to explain this, we might have to go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. No, not 2. Ephesians chapter 3. Where is the person? Okay, Ephesians chapter 3. Let's start from verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation, say after me, dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you all. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 4. Whereby when you read, ye may know, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Verse 5. Which, let's read the verse 5 together. 1, 2, ready, go. I'm not hearing you. Let's be loud. 1, 2, ready, go. Did you get what was happening here? Paul is saying that there is a layer of revelation that he brought as a result of the dispensation of the grace of God that he has entered into. Now, when we mean dispensation, is both a time and a season and also a capacity to do something. Huh? Now, this is what we mean. A capacity. For you to... Have you seen some people on social media and places, and they are trying to teach things that they don't have the grace to teach? It's not just them, but the people that listen to them will enter into error. The Bible spoke in the book of First Timothy. He said, take heed unto thyself and to thy doctrine. Eh? So that you will save yourself and those who what? And those who hear you. So when a man takes heed to his doctrine, he's beyond saving himself. There is a possibility of a generation being lost as a result of the fact that a man that is teaching dabbled into places that he has not received a dispensing of grace to administer. So administration in the kingdom is dependent on the grace that has been dispensed in you. That is how God administrates. If God wants to administrate his kingdom, what he does is to give you grace. That giving of grace to administrate on his behalf or his affairs is what we call dispensing. So when a time and a season has been opened up, when God wants to administrate a portion of his agenda, there is a grace sufficient that is dispensed on his vessels that he has elected to become the conduit through which the revelation that will ferry in the life of God that will support that agenda is being revealed. Are you getting the point? He said, how that by revelation God, I'm explaining that scripture, how that by revelation what happened, God revealed to me. And he said that this was possible as a result of the fact that there was a dispensation of grace that was given to him. To you what? Are you getting the point? That is what powered that kind of possibility. So it's not possible for him to administrate that if he didn't receive the grace to do it. That's one. So the proof that an administration has been opened up to men to enter into is that there is a grace that backs it up. This is what I'm trying to say. If you now go back to the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 6, the disciples were asking Jesus a question, verse 6. They were asking him a question, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom of what? Israel. So they were asking a question that, are you getting the point? Even though it is part of God's ultimate agenda, but that presently, that is not what God wants to communicate. Even Jesus was talking about the kingdom, and just because he said kingdom, they assumed that what he was talking about is to minister to their present need. That is how an average person thinks. Are you with me? So God can come to you and say, I will lift you up. And the next thing is that you start looking for platforms and places to manifest. What you don't know is that when God said, I will lift you up, he's saying, come to the cross so that you will die. You are still bogus in the flesh. There is still many manifestations. You are still trying to achieve a God agenda with the energy of the flesh. Now, as good as it is, God doesn't work with anything that is the flesh. And I'm not saying bad, though. I'm saying good. The flesh, when you, if you can follow our messages, the anatomy of the old man, there is the good part of the flesh and there is the bad part of the worst is the good part. That is what Paul calls self-righteousness. In that context, the man is doing something good, but he's doing it by the energy of the flesh. Even that one gets God more angry than the one that is done in a wrong way. Because when you are wrong, you know you are wrong. When you repent, you know you have repented. But when a man does things by the energy, his wisdom, his capacity, his connection, a day will come, you will think that you helped. Abraham came, and when he had the encounter of the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, the one that sustains all things and is not sustained by any, at that point he told the kings of Canaan, he said that I cannot receive anything from you, so that you will not say that I have helped Abraham to become who he is. This is a man that have entered into a revelation in God where he understood that anything that is God's agenda can never be powered by the expense of man. Are you getting the point? So if God, he said, I will lift you up, but he will take you to the cross. That was how Jesus was lifted up. The Bible said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And when the revelation of his lifting came, we found out that he was lifted by the cross. Because the scripture said, as the serpent was lifted in the wilderness, even so will the Son of Man be lifted. Just because God said, I will lift you up, you didn't care to ask him, how will you do it? You ran off like a tornado. I will lift you up, and the nations shall hear your voice, and all men shall come at your feet and hear the counsel of God. You will be great. And then you ran off like a tornado. You didn't know that the process of lifting is the cross. You didn't hear the other part. You just saw the other part. You didn't see the other one. As I told you yesterday, every prophecy of God is hanging on a condition. Whether God said there is a condition or not, you need to find out the condition. And most times, God will keep quiet and wait for you to ask for the condition. Because it is there that he will begin to reveal hard truths that you are not willing to accept. Are you hearing me? There are things I was not willing to accept until I began to press into God to find out why.
the destiny I knew about is no more coming to pass. I was like Moses. I stood at a junction in my life where I appeared and I looked at people and said, don't you know that I am the one that God has ordained to save you? Huh? And I went in the energy of the flesh. One of the things that happened is that just like Moses, you will stay 40 years in the wilderness so that you will be conquered. Huh? What Moses was seeking is that, is it not true that you called me, O God? He said, I called you. I called you to the wilderness first. So that from the wilderness you will be elevated. By the time he came out from the wilderness, the Bible said, I have made you a God unto Pharaoh. The same Pharaoh he was running away. This is a man that wanted to accomplish his destiny in such a way that he will be doing Robin Hood. That's how he wanted to do his destiny. Is it not true? He was doing Robin Hood and calling it the fulfillment of his destiny. Kill this one, do this one, be hide and seek. But when he was through with the wilderness, he came out with a rod. Aye. He said, I made you a God unto Pharaoh.
A God.
The same things you run away from. When they see you, they will be begging. Where should we enter? Just like the legion. Let's enter into this one. You don't need to cast them out. They will be begging. When those spirits, those demons, when the same people that challenge you, when they come, they say, give us where to sit. The only reason why it has not happened before now is that you went in the energy of the flesh. Stay in the wilderness. Stay. God will lift you, but he will lift you by the cross. He will not lift you by your intellectual prowess. He will not lift you because of your connection. He will not lift you because of your intelligence. He will not lift you because of your wisdom, your capacity to organize, your capacity. No, he will lift you by where? The cross. That's how he was lifted. And that's how he lifts every man in the kingdom. No man is lifted in the, any lifting in the kingdom that is not by the cross, you will crash down. You can't sustain it. Are you with me? Because if you rose by the cross, you will be sustained by the cross. If you rose by any other means, you will be sustained by that means. So if the men, if his men that lifted you, the day they turn their back on you, you will go down. But if it's the cross, if it's the cross, all you need to do is to look upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Look upon him. Look upon him. In the year 1947, Israel became a nation again. Are you getting the point? Meanwhile, these guys were asking the question, when will this one happen? And we have not even started counting. Jesus looked in the future and saw it will take almost 2,000 years old. So he didn't bother to answer them. There are some questions you are asking, God, why this one he has looked? So it will take 10 years old. If he didn't tell you now, you not go pray like this. You go say, make we rest now. When the 10 years reach, when the 5 years reach. Have you thought about that? I know many of you don't know. That's how the Holy Ghost works. That's how Jesus does. He will lure you in and give you small grace to pray. Give you some small anointing. When you do something, one or two people will now fall. You don't know that the journey is 10 years old. He won't tell you. He will come and say, oh God, this year he is going to go. The angels are saying, yeah, we are moving towards 10 years. We are moving towards 10 years. I said, these things, the times and seasons, they are given to the power of God. His authority, there is nothing you can do against it. You can only align. As a matter of fact, this kind of times and season, you can never shorten it. Actually, you can elongate it all. Are you with me? If God said 5 years, you can make it 7 because of many carelessness and misbehavior, but you can never make it 4 years. You can make it 10 years, but if he said if God said 5 years, you can never make it 4, but you can make it 10. You can make it 15. You can actually die and leave it for your children, and they will try, die, they will leave it for their children, they will try, die, leave it for 4 generations of a call hanging on a family looking for a priest. When will a man arise and stand in the gap? There are things hanging on the family, and no man have stood to hang. Huh? The call that was on Abraham, was it? Abraham was not the first one God called. Do you know? It was his father. The same thing that God told, you have not studied. The same thing God told Abraham, he told his father first. But his father, just like Abraham, came to a point and camped. He never reached Canaan. I say some of you are carrying 3 generational calling. There is no one to fulfill it. If you are not careful, you will elongate it. Eh? And your children will continue. Your grandchildren will continue. Your grandchildren will continue. Eh? He's not never. He is query site. Abekomaba. Kapaku. Kakua. Are you not feeling the burden of an unfulfilled calling? You are feeling it. Your family is living, they have not fulfilled it. The potentials that is hanging on the family have not been touched at all. Huh? You need to awake, 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 all thou that sleepest. Awake! Awake! When I knew this, I have to arise. My father will be telling me how God has ordained him to preach to white men. Yes. Me, I know. I'm not the first one. Even my father is not the first person that God called. The first person God called was my grandfather. He didn't do anything. My father came. The days of my grandfather, he came and he said they were one of the first that became Christians. And in those days, they used to bob their hair in one style. So that anywhere you appear and you see a Christian, you can carry your money and give him. Come back 2 years later and pick your money. That's how the man collected it. They were the first people that brought the stones they used to build the first church in this town. Are you getting the point? So the call was hanging. And the man said, my first son. His first son tried his best. And that first son said, my first son. And I appeared and I was carrying a burden of 3 generations of unfulfilled calling. I swore I will pay the price. Awake. Awake. Awake from the sleep and the Lord will give you light. Awake. Pray for 1 minute. Speak to your soul. Speak to yourself. Awake. Awake and receive light. Awake. 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 We are in number what now? We are in number what? Okay, so it's number 4 now, right? Number 4, seals and scrolls. Seals and scrolls. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. And then Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. Revelation chapter 10, verse 4. Revelation chapter 10 verse 4. Are you there? Now, and when the 7 thunders have uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, what? I'm not hearing you. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, what? Write them not. These are seals. Are you getting the point? So there are things that is already there, but God sealed them for a certain for many reasons. I will show you something about the ceiling of his cross. Huh? Now, why not show us where is the second place? 5 verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with what? 7 seals. If you click on that word book, for some of you, you will notice that the word book there is actually scrolls. Are you with me? So there are two key words you should take notice of on this particular teaching now is scrolls and seals. That time is scrolls and what? Seals. Many people don't know that God operates in scrolls and seals. And these scrolls are bodies of information that captures God's dealings for people, for dispensations, for generations, for families. Are you getting the point? Actually, are you with me? Actually, before you have retained the capacity to speak for God for a generation, one of the things that will happen is that God will give you many scrolls. Yes, that's the meaning of that's who was there. That's the meaning of those things that was being sent in. Where is TBK? That's the meaning of those visions. Huh? For you to have the capacity to speak for a generation, you will receive scrolls. Some of them you will have to eat. Huh? So that means that actually this dynamics of the voice of God that we are teaching is a concept, a teaching, an information, a body of truth and knowledge that even heaven recognizes that in this season men need to be brought into it. That is why actually we have made many attempts to step into another thing, but God have to keep us here so that we take it to the end. Are you getting the point? So one of the things that God revealed to us is that we saw scrolls, not once, not twice. We saw scrolls. And those scrolls are things that contain the information and the voice of God for a people, for a generation, for a territory, for a dispensation. So that means that the content, what is in that scroll, is not supposed to be unveiled to that generation. The unveiling of that seal will make, are you with me? There are informations that is inside the scroll that if a generation is shown it beforehand, it will disfigure their connection with God. There are many things you shouldn't know now, actually. So many of them are sealed up. I need you to know that even in the knowledge of God, there are certain things that will be sealed up for you in certain seasons. There is no amount of prayer you pray that you will enter into that kind of knowledge. Yes, there are certain books and certain preachers you can't follow in certain seasons of your life. The implication of that is that what they are saying, they are teaching, but what they are saying is actually scrolls. When men preach as a result of the investment of grace, they ate scrolls and they spoke. You heard about the prophet that ate scrolls and it was bitter in the mouth and sweet in the belly. Am I right? That is in signifying the fact that he's supposed to speak to generations to come. That is the voice of God manifest in those seasons. Are you getting the point? So when such a man is a scroll that is sealed, in subjective context, no matter how much you hear that man, you will never understand him. That is a proof that the content of the scroll that the man has eaten and is speaking as the voice of God in that season, that it has been sealed from you. I will try and show you 4 things that can unseal a scroll that has been sealed. Four things. But that's not where I'm going. Where I'm going now, follow me. Huh? Where I'm going now is that there are certain men you listen to before, you never understood what they were saying. Why did you listen to them now and understand? That means the seals on the scrolls, which is the power and force, the reality behind their teachings,
The reality behind the vocals of their ministry has been sealed to you, and in certain seasons it has now been unsealed. That is why you have retained the capacity to enter into that body of knowledge, into that information. Are you getting the point? There are people that they say they listen to me, they don't understand. But there are some of you, you understand me so well that you even understand the one I didn't say. And you wonder, how can somebody actually say he doesn't understand? Does it make sense? It is a proof. It's not their fault. Some scrolls are sealed to them. Actually, there are some, are you with me? There are some men of God, no matter how much some of us eulogize them and say, "Kai, this person has made me all this." There are people, as far as they are concerned, those scrolls are close to them. The scrolls that is unsealed for them is the one that another man of God is holding. Huh? It's not as if they will not be brought to that place, but their season have not come. It might take another 5 to 10 years. When their season comes, then they will enter. They will now see what is making you excited like this. They have not seen it. Part of the reason is that the scrolls have been what? Sealed. No matter how much you listen to the person, he will never move you from point one to point two. Huh? Because as far as I'm bringing it to subjective context, I'm saying the things that affect the voice of God, there are scrolls and seals. So for this one now, he said that this one, there is a man that is sitting and is holding it, and there are actually this one, there are 7 seals on it. Kai! Huh? Hi. Should we talk deep matters? Now, in subjective context, when you experience this kind of things, that means that there are layers of spiritual development that you need to experience in your heart, so that you are sent to the place where you can enter into the unsealed dimension of the scrolls. So as long as you retain, are you with me? As long as certain people retain a mindset that accept babyhood Christianity, there are certain scrolls of God that will never open to them. So irrespective of the fact that God is moving in a certain dimension in a generation, there are people you ask, "Have you listened to this man of God?" They will say they have never heard about him. Why? The scrolls are what? Sealed to them. They are inside that their church and they are enjoying. You understand now? No, be so. As far as they are concerned, in that thing they are doing, that is the best that there is. Meanwhile, God has left that place and he is somewhere else, and he has tabernacled and pitched his tent. Even if you take that message and give to the person, he will not understand it. There are people here, the way they encountered some apostolic ministries, somebody has it on their phone and has never listened to it. And some of you now saw it on that person's phone, now took it. How many of it happened to you? Now took it and listened to you that listened to it, it now changed your life. You started following. After 1 year, you left the person behind. Is it not true? That means that carrying the message on your phone doesn't mean it's unsealed for you. You just had MB to download. You downloaded from internet doesn't mean you have downloaded from Zion. Eh? When he opens to you on internet, may he open to you in heaven in Jesus' name. What many people have is data. Any new message they download, any new message, what is in the scrolls is not open to them. Do you know the implication? They can listen to all kinds of high sounding revelation and they will never be molded into it, because the scrolls are sealed to them. Are you getting the point? You need to understand this matter. And meanwhile, the voice of God to a generation in that time is speaking from that person. Are you with me? One of the proof of wisdom is that you identify where God is speaking from in a generation. If you don't identify it, you will miss out on the administration. Now listen, Paul was speaking in the book of Ephesians. He said that there is a dispensation of grace that is given to me towards you. So as far as, are you with me? Now, revelation grants men authority, and it is by grace that a man administrates revelation. The Bible said how that by revelation he received, then the administration is as a result of grace. Are you getting the point? So when a man is granted grace to administrate the counsels of God for a generation, when you exclude yourself from that administration, you will remain where you are.
Are you getting the point? Even if you fast, are you getting the point? Even if there are people fasting, I hope you know that there are people fasting more than you are fasting, praying and doing many things, but they are not making progress. Do you know why? They have not entered into the scrolls. No matter what you teach people, no matter what you do to people, if they have not been open to the scrolls of the season, they will remain babes. The reason why you grow is not necessarily about the natural information that enters into your head. It's as a result of the scrolls that has been opened to you in the spirit. Then your heart can receive the matter.
You reign forever, your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. You reign forever, your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began. No, don't add that thing, let it just be normal. You reign forever, your name is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began.
You have not gotten me, and it's a problem. I want to go somewhere. Where you are trying to get the thing is not the way. It should flow normal. That one you are climbing, you shouldn't go there. It should flow. God, Jesus. I've seen where we need to go now, but I don't know if we'll reach it. If we don't reach it, then tomorrow we'll continue. Now, this is what happens. Why not? Let's see verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals. I think we'll stop here. Thereof. And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to what? Look thereon. This is strange. Okay. And I wept much because no man was found worthy. If your Bible is your own, underline worthy. To open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, had prevailed. If your Bible is your own, underline prevailed. To open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst. Let me check whether we are still here. In the midst of the throne and on the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood the Lamb, as it has been slain. If your Bible is your own, understands on the lion's name, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. We don't have time. Now, when scrolls are sealed to you, there are, aside the fact that there are those that has been left to God's sovereign authority, but I'm speaking in subjective context. Are you with me? There is a generational context of the voice of God coming, but there is a subjective context. Sometimes you notice that you are in an environment, and maybe you are in this kind of environment, but you have not been able to enter into the body of the teaching that we are bringing across. When we are teaching, it's flying over your head. The scrolls have not been opened to you. I want to show you what to try. When you do it, the scrolls will open. And when you notice that it seems as if there are seasons that is around your life, but you are not being able to enter into it, you are not being able to hear the voice from there, you need to hear echoes from Zion. Aye. You need to hear echoes from Zion. That when men hear echoes from Zion, then their steps will be ordered. Marching orders cannot come except there is echoes from Zion. It takes echoes from Zion for men to receive their marching orders. If there is no instruction, we keep our formation until sound comes from Zion. So sometimes men will tarry in one position until God speaks, and then they will begin to march. Efforts you are making to try to accomplish anything or make move, even on God's behalf, that is not as a result of a sound, an echo that came from Zion. It will end in what is this, our normal parlance that we use? It will end in tears. I hope it will will end in tears. Hope, it will end in tears. Hope, it will end in tears. God's love, you will buy handkerchief for us, because there are some things that will end in tears, so that people can have the opportunity to wipe that. Meanwhile, I told you, well, just that I told you, you have opportunity of following what I told you, or waiting for the handkerchief. There are two. I have two I can give you. Choose one. Which one do you choose? The information or the handkerchief? You know, people like handkerchief. They like to be pitied. They like to be petted. No. I also have handkerchief. Come and take handkerchief. So number one thing, just this is where I will stop. Number one way to unseal screws is sacrifice. That is what the scripture meant by saying that the lamb, as he had been slain. Aye. There are many things that will never happen until certain sacrifice has been made. Because of time, I might not be able to explain this thing well. Number two is alignment. Now there are ways that a man will align in the spirit, and then scrolls will be unsealed for you. Sometimes the reason why certain scrolls has not been unsealed, you have not entered in certain place. Have you not noticed God has been knocking you? But if they knock you, they pain you. If they knock you, they pain you. If they knock you, they pain you. You know your prayer. Continue knocking me if that is what it will take. I know you don't like this kind of. It was a man of God I listened to many years ago. He will come and say, knock us into shape, knock us into alignment. I didn't understand it. I followed him and prayed. That's how my head, they really knocked me. My head became big as a result. Sometimes for you to fit in, you don't need to be smaller. Your head doesn't need to be smaller, it needs to be bigger. For you to fit in, they need to knock you. They never knock you. You have still maintained, some of you here have maintained your delicate balance. Some of you entered this tent with a limp. Your delicate balance. I saw a picture, and I saw this, my brother. He was sitting in front with one eyeglass, and he was looking like this. He was looking like a young man that came back from Chicago. After the 18 hours, he lost that eyeglass. After prayer and prophetic, he lost it. He didn't know where he's sitting now. I said, there are things that is in your life because they never knock you. They need to knock you. Where is that your eyeglass? They knocked him, he forgot eyeglass. There is a young man here, as soon as he entered, he didn't reach 2 weeks. They knocked him and his phone burnt. They need to knock some of you, your phone need to burn. Are you with me or? There are some people in campus, you know how, because you have refused to hear, the way they will knock you is one carryover, extra year. Then you will begin to hear. You don't know. There are many things your sister wouldn't have heard. You know now. It's when we appear in heaven, we will know. All of you are looking for where to run to. And God now know. Because what God wants to do is more important to him than you service. Meanwhile, what is in your eyes is you service. You have not seen it yet. Don't allow him to elongate the journey. The person don't want to hear this thing I'm saying, but it is from Zion I'm broadcasting. You have to look, remove that. See, do you know Hannah was still giving a child? But until he found out the purpose of the child didn't come. Zion is looking for an expression, a prophet that will pioneer a new order. And as long as that woman never saw it, heaven will continue, they will seal your womb. Many unproductiveness that you experience in your life, it seems as if things have hanged, is as a result of the fact that you are asking for something and you have not been knocked into alignment, into heaven's emphasis. Just like Hannah, your womb will be sealed until a day will come and you say, my God has lifted my horn and made and enlarged my mouth. Huh? You are no more here to get something to compete. No, you are getting it because you know you need to align with God. I don't have time. The next one is stature. Now, remember the scripture said in that revelation, he said that there was no one found worthy. Say after me, worthy. Actually, Satan appeared though. I hope you know. See, that's why some of you, I don't know why you are afraid of Satan. Me, I'm not afraid of him. Because on this day, they asked him, come and collect. That is the same man that desired the throne of the Christ. This throne is the one he desired. And said, I will take my throne to the size of the north, and I will become like the Most High. When the day came, when they were doing the coronation service, they called Satan, come and collect the seals. The guy escaped. He is not powerful. See, you need to come to that point. If you appear, Satan will hide. Where was he? When Jesus was about to climb, Jesus kept quiet. He was waiting for all of them. He just kept, he was the last person who was at the back, waiting for any man. If you think you can appear, Satan was there, he hid. The same one that said, I want to be like the Most High, he was given the opportunity and he found out he lacked a stature. For the Lamb, he is worthy. He has prevailed. When Jesus was there, it was in his voice. Yeah. I was in his voice. If death can't stop him, he can't stop me. If Satan can't stop him, he won't stop me. Sickness can't stop me. Even death could not hold him captive. Oh yeah. Where were you, Satan? Why are you suddenly finding your power in my life? They told him, come and collect. He ran away. When he now saw you, he's showing power. It's a lie. Today, he will lose his power. It's only when Satan shows see you, he will show power. When they called him, come and collect, he ran away. Hey! I'm a son of my father. If you know you are the son of your father, that Jesus carried you in his loins, you need to vibrate in 1 minute. Kakakua tataya. Sayaka. Saka. take this prayer before now. If Satan see you, he go dey show power. Show you go dey show himself. They told him, come and collect. He ran away. And you are the son of your father. No. You don't know yet. The son of your father. When they were asking, your father kept quiet. Get angry this night. Let me see the demon. Brutalize that demon. There is no brutality. I receive an impartation of brutality this night. Receive an impartation of brutality. Of brutality. Of brutality. Receive an impartation. If you want it, you will take an impartation of brutality. When you enter again, an impartation of brutality. An impartation of brutality in the spirit. Supposed to collect something. Lift up your hands.
lift up your hands. Susabahata. Fatish!